Since I've thought about it, I'm glad to see you. Same here.
Since I thought about it, I'm glad to see you.
All right, let's all pray, would you? Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to be with us tonight. We praise you for your love and mercy. May thy grace and may thy glory. Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I praise you right now. I praise you right now. I praise you right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. We love you. Thank you.
All right, you may be seated. It's an honor of mine to be here with you, and I hope that for the next few moments it'll be worth your time to sit here and listen to me. I'm not always sure sometimes about some things, but I do love. Do you all realize how much I love Sunday school? And we thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And it's just good to be with you. Now, there are three institutions today under severe attack in this nation. And don't ever underestimate the subtlety which whittles away at some of the most fundamental things that we have ever loved in all of our life. One is the American home. The church and leadership. I don't know. It appears to me, and this may not be true, so if you don't think it's true, don't worry about it. It appears to me that since the Jonestown situation, that served somewhat as an epical transition. And since then, it seems like some things have been downhill. Now, the church is going to be all right. I think you believe that. There is no way to destroy it. No way. It's God's mystical body in residence. And it is the only immortal institution on this planet. And by the way, are you all aware that the planet belongs to us, the believer? The unbeliever, they don't belong on this planet. And there will be an extermination, and you won't have to call Westheimer Transferred in Storage. We're going to get all the unbelievers off of this planet, and once that happens, we will have a time.
Amen.
Then they're going to turn the devil loose for a little season. And he's going to put on another show. And then when that jig is up, he'll be forever gone. And there's nothing wrong with the air, the water, the ground, the leaves, the flowers, and everything. We are the only form of life that has messed up things. But this is the greatest day that I ever lived in all of my life, and I am absolutely thrilled to death about the whole thing. There never has been a day that you can work for God any better than you can today, if you want to do anything. Now, if you don't want to do anything, twiddle your thumbs. Try to stay out of everybody's way and don't try to hinder anybody. Because the church will roll on, and I'm going to roll with it.
Boys on. Amen.
So it's good to be here with you. Now, I'm supposed to talk about the task, the challenge, and the result. Let me read to you, and I already have it written down here in my notes so that I won't have to turn, but if you would like to turn, it's rather a familiar scripture. In Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, that is a promise. Now, the reason I believe that we can evangelize the globe is because he said we could. I don't think that he predicts things. I don't think that he says things that we can't do. Now, God has confidence in us. Why can't we believe in us? Let me show you how much confidence he has in man. He taught 12 people 3.5 years and left the planet. And this is a result of it right here done. Now, we can do things for God if we want to do. You can choose to succeed or you can choose to fail. Don't blame the devil. Don't blame God. Don't blame environment. Don't blame modern technician or technology. Don't blame anything. Look at yourself. That's where all the problems exist. You can never advocate any failure of yours to any outside condition. It is all coming out of the inside. You've got to assign it to yourself. So the task is in two phases, the way I have it categorized here. One is evangelism. Now, it is an outreach. The Sunday school is an outreach for all ages simultaneously. There is no other departmental function in the educational program that will include all age groups being taught at the same time as Sunday school. And if you don't have a Christian school, you need one. But if you don't have one, your Sunday school should be so tightly organized and your teacher should be so well trained that there's not a lost moment. And any time that a child is in a classroom and they're bored, that's the teacher's fault. And we are teaching some smart kids today. The rise of sophistication has increased our responsibility and also have put us to a place that we've got to do things. No longer can you sit down on Saturday night and kind of thumb through your Sunday school lesson and get up and teach people today because they're too smart for that. One psychology professor said, if your child knew how dumb you thought they were, they would laugh in your face. Now, a lot of times children catch us in our delinquencies, but they are too mannerly and kind to tell us about them. But dishonesty with a child will eventually, he'll get to a saturation point. They know when we're faking and they know when we aren't. So I'm just saying to you, Sunday school is one of the greatest evangelistic arms in the church phase. Our attitude in child evangelism reflects faith in God's will and word. It is helping to fulfill the Great Commission. Further, it is one way of training our children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Sister Eastridge, most of you, or a great many of you perhaps know her. Paul, you know, was a son of hers that came to God in his late years. As a result of that, when he was inducted into the war, she said she prayed until God gave her an assurance that Paul would be saved before he died. So when the army personnel came to bring her the word that Paul had died, when the man got through with the story, now you've got to know Sister Eastridge to really appreciate this. She said, "That's not true, sir. My son's not dead." Well, can you imagine what that fellow thought about that lady? He said, "Ma'am, I have his dog tag." She said, "You don't have my son's dog tag because he's not dead." He said, "Well, how do you ascertain such a strong position?" She said, "Simply for the reason, because God promised me that Paul would not die until he was saved. And he's not saved and he's not dead." So she says, "Take your things that you brought to me of my dead son, supposedly, back with you because they're not mine." And he went back and told his commanding officer. Then they sent another emissary over there, and she refused them likewise. 7 years later, a knock on the door. She said, "Come in, Paul. I've been waiting for you 7 years." And he prayed through and is living for God today.
Praise God.
Now, I'm telling you, we need faith in God today. I mean, we need real faith in God. I'm not talking about some kind of an arrangement that you hypothetically or emotionally attack a situation. But if you've got real faith in God, you'll live right, talk right, spit right, dress right, and everything else. My faith has to do with the way I live. Now, all of you represent deity to me. I can't touch you without touching God. And if I touch you, I've touched God. And I don't love you anymore. I don't respect you anymore. I don't care for you any more than I do God. You are one representation of deity. And the quicker we learn that, the more mannerly and kindly and thoughtfully we will appear to each other. So I'm just saying to you tonight, this is not a one-horse wagon. This is a team. This is an orchestrated effort. Sunday school is an orchestrated effort. And we need everybody on board. The Great Commission does say go and teach. If Sunday school is teaching, then we are fulfilling the Great Commission. Then the Sunday school is in the Great Commission. Can you buy that? So, here we are. And what do I teach? To observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, whatever is incorporated in the periphery of that situation, we just need to do that. The Lord predicts that He'll be with us always. There will be a divine vigil over us if we will obey. If the Sunday school is a teaching arm of the church, then Sunday school is a command. Because it is doing, going, therefore, and teaching. So, the Great Commission incorporates in it the Sunday school. It is a teaching evangelical arm. Some churches, can you believe this? And I was so glad what Brother Urshan said last night, have dismissed or did dismiss Sunday school. Now, I'm trying to be nice. That was the most nonsensical, non-fruitful, inappropriate thing that ever happened. And I don't know who sold somebody on that idea. But I want you to know, anything that can teach the Word of God, call it what you will, is help carrying out the commission. So our task is evangelism. All right? Now, Pharaoh posed to Moses. He said, you go and worship and leave the children here. No home needs to be without a father. He represents the governmental administrator of the household. You want to know why we've got so many homosexuals running around today? Especially in the male. There's no fear, there's no male image for that boy to relate to.
Right.
Women are beautiful creations of God, and my mother was a lady. But ladies are not tailored to raise men. Now, there may be instances when that's the best that can happen. But I want you to know that men going and worshiping God without their families is not God's will. We need praying men. We need spiritual men. We need men with vision, determination, accentuation, and everything else because of the fact that the word husband means leader and administrator of the house. When the church educational program is swept away, confusion, distortion, and spiritual density oftentimes reign. Now, if you can dismiss Sunday school in a church, you know what makes parishioners insecure? They think, well, what else can they dismiss that we may be doing that we don't need to do?
Right.
That's what happens a lot of times. So, Somebody said, well, Sunday school is rather a repetition. Brushing your teeth is too. You want to quit? Eating is repetition. Did you know that life is a composite of repetitions? I don't know why we would assign Sunday school as a more ugly repetition than some of the other things. A lot of times, if repetition disturbs you and me, you know what may be the problem? We may have lost the burden to repeat. So we might ought to look on the inside. We may just have a shell for a profession. And the real, true you doesn't have their heart in it anymore. If Sunday school one time worked, it still works.
Right, right.
But you know who will make it work? We will make it work. All right? So the church school is a support system. It has been said, if you want to change a nation, you hit the cradle and not the crutch. We're talking about evangelism. The entire church is a team in its various facets. Each department, from cradle roll through the adults, is an orchestrated effort. Each department is a player on the team and represents an instrumental exercise. Why is it so important that we teach our children? I surely can.
You may be seated. Brother Dean will continue.
All right. I appreciate and what was said. And, of course, I don't know, unless you're in the school business, you perhaps don't realize the edge that that kind of effort is trying to squeeze out of this nation. The Christian school effort. Now, there are a number of churches in California that has been sold for the taxes. You say, it can't happen in America. Well, it did. Yes, it did happen. So, that is what we're facing. Now, if you'll notice in Sister Lita's testimony here that the opposition arose about Christian education. That's the crux of the whole thing. And so this Nebraska situation is the same spirit and same devil. And when I was up there in that rally with Brother Urshan and some of the rest of us up there, I said to the people of the Christian community, I said, get together and vote these devils out of office. That's the way you do that. That's the American way of doing it. You can pray them out. Pray them out. Vote them out. All right. Now, we're talking about two aspects here of the task as far as Christian education is concerned. Evangelism, and we'll be talking about just a moment, education. But let me finish right here. Why is it so important that we teach our children? Now, I just superficially mentioned to you the other night about the present suicide. The national present suicide rate has been, for 30 years up until 1978, 12.5, which is 130 children commit suicide out of 1,000. That's 13,000 out of 100,000. Now, that remained rather status quo for about 30 years up until 1978. In Florida, it was a little higher. It was 17.7, so that's 18,000 out of 100,000. All right, to show you the need of children. Now, in 1978, from ages from 15 to 24, it was the third leading cause of death. Young people committing suicide. All right? In 1978, here was the transitional year, 2,000 young people between ages 10 and 19 killed themselves. This was twice as many as was in 1968. Between the ages of 20 and 24, 3,500 killed themselves. up 1,500. In the last 10 years, as many as 200 children under 14 to 5 years old have committed suicide. And a lot of times, if you have an active bus ministry that we've had for about 25 years, we had the first Pentecostal bus ministry in Houston. They've all gone out of it. We're still in it. And we bus about 400 or 500 children to Sunday school each Sunday. Now, a lot of people say, well, don't you find a lot of undesirables? Yes, but you don't have to just look at bus ministry. We get a lot of undesirables, bus ministry or no bus ministry. And somebody said, well, they're a little messy, aren't they? Well, I will admit that. But you know, I'd rather have the privilege of painting a wall every 6 months from little dirty hands, giving them an exposure to Jesus Christ, than to live in a museum. Now, if you built your church as a museum piece and you want to keep it in mothballs, well, God be with you till we meet again. But that's not what churches are built for. Now, there are a lot of children that for years we have fed rice and other things, especially in beginners and in primaries. They didn't have any breakfast. Would you believe those little fellas get up and wash their face and comb their hair and dress themselves and they come to Sunday school? And then when they get to be teenagers, they get the Holy Spirit and we baptize them in Jesus' name. And then we put on a lot of things to get the parents out there to see them, like sing or like do this or do that, recite scriptures, so forth and so on, have some kind of an exposition such as that, and the parents will come. And the first thing you know, we got mother and daddy, and they get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. We've done that and had that happen by the hundreds. Now, you know what makes bus ministry work? Work.
Yes, working.
You know what makes bus ministry work? Work.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Sunday school work. Work.
Right.
So if you don't like to work, stay out of the bus ministry, and maybe it'd be good for you to dismiss your Sunday school. All right, now then, the second thing here is education. Now, the task of the Sunday school, education, we'll talk about. Education is teaching, training, impartation of instruction, discipline, or disciple, which means learner. Christian education is our being able to educate children about Christ. It's not egotistic, it is not narcissistic, and it is not humanistic. Now, you've got two schools of philosophy in the educational procedure today in America. They are humanism and Christian education. One is Christ-centered, the other is ego-centered. Humanism is nothing more than a nice name for atheism. And no God, and no hereafter, no literal hell, no literal heaven. You're nothing more than an animal governed by a total nerve stimulus. And you can't do anything about your behavior if you wanted to. So we need to advocate strongly Christian education. Theocentric, not egocentric, theocentric.
Yeah.
That is, Christ is at the center. Now, to prove to you that the Old Testament was a textbook, listen to what God said. And you already believe this. The Old Testament, the law primarily was to educate Israel as per the will of God and to teach the responsibility as their responsibility to that word. So that's why that you have things mentioned like this. The first two commandments, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God was one Lord. Now, if Christian education did not work, do you think God would have advocated such? He knew it would work. That's why he wrote the textbook and said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He knew that we could transfer and communicate and get over the fact that there was not but one God, and we're to love that one God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. If that will work for Israel in that day, that will work for the UPC in this day.
Right.
It's a matter of just doing it. Now, it is a fact that the Ten Commandments, two are positive, the other to are negative. That is, the shall nots are simply telling me what I'm capable of doing. Thou shalt not lie. You know what that's saying to me from a positive standpoint? I'm capable of not lying. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That is saying to me subliminally that I am capable of being morally upright. So the shall nots are nothing more than telling us what our potential is. And I love to subscribe to that. So it can be done. Now, let's notice here how they were to deal with the heathen. He said, you are to destroy their altar. You are to break down their images. You are to cut down their idols. You are to burn their carved images with fire. Now, look at Deuteronomy here. What did I do with my Bible? Here it is right here. Look at Deuteronomy here, Deuteronomy 7, and notice how it says to communicate this particular aspect of Christian education. Look at Deuteronomy 7 and 6. Now, in Deuteronomy 4, 6 and 4, you have there, said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, he says, you're to teach this to your children and to your children's children. Now, I feel, and I don't know whether you feel this way or not, but I've got a sneaking idea you do. I feel as responsible for my grandchildren as I do my children. And fortunately, all of my grandchildren that are old enough to go to school is in our academy. And they just love it. So, if teaching was not the approach, then God would not have said so. The fact that he said we could teach our children and they could teach their children just means that in God's mind, it will work. But we've got to make it work. Now, if you'll notice in 7 and 6, it said here, "For thou." Now, why do you want us to do this? What is the need for Christian education? He said, "Because you're a holy people unto me. I've chosen you as a special people unto myself above all the people of the face of the earth." Because he said, "The Lord has set his love upon you and chosen you because you were more, not because you were more in number, but because you were the fewest of all people." I'm just saying to you today that we can do God's will. Let's say it. We can do God's will. You were designed to do that. You were graphically put together so that your spirit would respond with divinity. You are made in the image of God. Therefore, being made in the image of God, you represent a physical counterpart of deity. Therefore, God has chosen the message or method of Christian education in imparting to our children the knowledge of the one true God. If it worked for Israel, it'll work for the UPC. All right, so much for that. We were designed to implement these exercises I'm talking about in Christian education. Why not? If he said we could, I believe we can. Do we plan to participate? Now, let's talk about the challenge. The goal of all Christian exercise is the salvation of the lost. Furthermore, our educational system must remain evangelical, or we will become institutional and ritualistic. The outgrowth of these two elements produce Phariseeism. The institution rigidity of the Pharisees did not honor God and did not honor the real move of God. Phariseeism does not believe in revival. So I'm just saying to you today that if we don't keep our Sunday schools on an evangelical and a Christian educational basis, we will become cold,
yes,
calculated, institutional, and very Pharisaic.
Yeah.
And in so doing, the real move of the Holy Spirit will not touch us. And we don't want that. I say we don't want that.
Amen.
Now, I don't plan to participate in that Pharisaic role. Now, another thing, there is such a thing as God moving outside of our confines. Now, if you don't think that's true, you just need to do a little traveling. Now, smoke doesn't have to be smoke to go up my chimney. Now, I don't know what you think about that. You can do with it what you want to do with it. There is a move of God on in this country in every religious aspect. Why not encourage anybody to have revival? If God could talk to Cornelius and him who he was, and have the sinner looking for the preacher instead of the preacher looking for the sinner, it would pay us dividends to look around. Because you can become so clustered in your thinking that you can think that God can't speak to anybody outside of us. And I want to tell you, that's a lie. I don't buy that. Now, look at this. Peter was on the housetop praying. Now, get this picture. He had the keys to the kingdom. Get this picture. There's such a thing as praying past the answer. Now, this kind of thing bothers Pharisees that I'm talking about right now, and I just love to nettle them about it because you need somebody to tell you if you're holding that position. Somebody needs to blow you off the wall. Now, notice this. When Peter was on the housetop, he saw four visions, and the Holy Spirit nudged him at the gate to get him to go do what God wanted him to do when the heathen saw one vision and put a representative in the middle of the road to go look for the man that had the keys.
Yes.
Do you mean to tell me that we need to back up and be so cluttered in our thinking until we are afraid to tear down some of these walls and get to this world with this truth? If anybody tells you that they prayed and the Lord shared something with them, who in the world has authorized some of us to be a judge as to who did or who didn't? Now, you may not want me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. I'm just telling you. Now, and so, now look at this. Let me show you how biased we can be. When Peter got to Cornelius' household, now listen to the brother. He said, "Now, you know that I'm not supposed to be down here because I'm a Jew and you're a Gentile." That's not the gospel. That's the race question. I'll have no time for that because I don't think that the gospel is allocated to any one race, any one culture, or any one color of skin.
That's right. Amen.
I'm trying to have a United Nations church. And I'm on my way. Because we have a Cambodian congregation of about 200. We have a black congregation of about 300 or 400. We got a Spanish congregation of about 100. We got about 200 Cambodians, and we got some Vietnamese. We got a lot of Asians in there. Now, I'm telling you, we can do things if we will drop some of our prejudices. Don't tell me we're all that interested in foreign missions when you won't go across the street to witness to somebody of another culture. And then some of our missionaries come along and tell a sob story, and you do a lot of mucus running and wiping your eyes and make out like you love God all that much, and won't even go across the street to start a church in another culture.
My God.
That's a good classified hypocrite. I am telling you. Now, the Lord wants to help us.
Yes.
But we can't be picky and prejudiced and biased in our thinking.
Amen.
Did you know this truth will keep me anywhere with anybody? And I don't have to worry about that. I can't believe. I just can't believe some things sometimes that make themselves an inroad. I don't know where we've got some of the things that we've got about us. But I'm telling you, it's time for somebody to blow your cap off of your head and let you know, if you're thinking that way, that the Lord can do things.
Yes.
He is doing things. He has done things. Now, it's bad when the sinner is looking for the man with the keys to the church instead of the man with the keys looking for the sinner.
Amen.
Now, to me, that's backward.
Yes, it is.
Preach.
Aren't we having some fun? All right. So much for that. So much for that. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, friend. May God help us. Boy, when it takes four visions to get us out of a prayer meeting to go witness to a sinner. I don't know that you're doing all that much praying anyhow. Because if you're doing very much praying, and there's very much God in your Gentile gizzard, you know what you would want to do? Have revival and save the lost and do some witness.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. Help us, Lord. There was a time when the Bible was a part of the public school system. No one knows that any better than Yvonne, who is up here with us. How horrible the public school system today in our nation. And that's the reason they are opposed to Christian education. Because do you realize when you have a Christian school, you're taking about $2,000 per person for every person that is taken out of the secular school system? No wonder they're upset. I'd be upset, too, if I was claiming that position. And some things that we do from here on in, we're not going to be able to do too comfortably. It's going to show the boys from the men. So we just as well get ready. Now, in early days, are we aware of the fact that people who held public political office were ordained ministers? Are we aware of that? If you go back to the days of the colonies and the early part of this nation and the early infant part of this nation, for a man to run for a representative or a senator, he had to be an ordained minister. So you know what's happening today? The church is picking up her role in Christian education by initiating the Christian school effort. And the Christian school is the church in action. Okay. Modern education is not religious, it's humanistic. The home is the first educational institution. The Pentecostal home has been ineffective in many instances in Christian education. Knowing that Jesus, well, God will not keep you from lying. It'll not keep you from being immoral. But you know what will keep you from lying and being immoral? Loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If we do not build our churches on the foundation that you've got to love God first, then we are building Pharisaical institutions, and they will become ritualistic and institutional and Pharisaic. And everybody that doesn't do it like we do it, we will stand there with some sort of a judgment and condemn them to the lowest hell if they don't part their hair just like we part ours. I don't want any part of that. Now, results. Great Sunday schools filled great churches.
Praise God.
The largest churches have the most active Sunday schools. The Sunday school is an evangelistic arm. The Sunday school is a recruiting aspect of religious effort. A large Sunday school provides a large church membership. The Sunday school reaches to all ages. The Sunday school provides for the child and parent together. The Sunday school has a flexibility not found in any other worship service. You can teach the child while you teach the parent. It's a simultaneous effort. No other position do we hold in the religious community that can compensate for the education of the child or the adolescent or the young adult, but in the Sunday school hour. So that is another reason that we really need to make our churches and our Sunday schools cosmetic. I mean walls, materials, decorations, decor needs to be inviting. It needs to be refreshing. It needs to be uplifting. And if your Sunday school is a bore, it's because that you have chosen for it to be that way. It can be exciting. It can be dynamic. It can be positive. It can be full of anticipation. And I can't help but believe that everybody would like to grow. It's a bit difficult for me to believe that people don't believe in revival and don't want to grow. You say, well, everything is not in numbers. That's right. But have you ever stopped to realize that numbers are people? I'm interested in numbers. And at the same time, I'm interested in people. Because people make numbers. All right? Now, here's what you have. You need to make the Sunday school attractive, interesting, with a trained faculty. Get as many to work as possible. The Sunday school can employ more personnel than any other facet of the religious community.
True.
All right? Another thing. The Sunday school affords the pastor to become acquainted with the entire family with the Sunday school effort. It's necessary to know all family members, such as because of weddings, funerals, counseling, emergencies. Sunday school is a natural ground for all of this to happen. The Sunday school can help lead all to Christ. Sunday school provides prospects for Bible home Bible studies, salvation, bus drivers, bus workers, Sunday school workers, discovering of talents and skills, and etc. You can run a talent check through your Sunday school, through the personnel, through the students, and ask them, what would they like to do in this church? I think that church ought to be exciting.
Right.
I think it ought to be energized. I think it ought to be full of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if it's not, did you know you have the panacea to make it that way? But I'm telling you, if there's no fire in the pulpit, there ain't none in the pew. You have got to stay ablaze. If the Bible is as exciting as we say it is, why aren't we excited about it?
Right.
I'm saying that our Sunday schools can be exciting, and they can be interesting, and they can be a beautiful arm of evangelism. And it's a very nice thing to say, why don't you come to me with Sunday school? That's a soft landing. Now, the other day, let me tell you what happened just last weekend. Two of our workers driving along in Houston on the streets there saw a young lady sitting on an apartment step crying. As a result, it was Joanna and Harriet Gladney. Joanna's had the Holy Spirit about 6 weeks. She said, Harriet, turn this car around. Let's go back and talk to that girl. She's crying sitting on the step. They turned the car around. They went back. And I've been trying to tell Sister Vaughn. went back. They got to talking to her. They said, Patricia, what's the problem? And I don't know the conversation piece per se, but they talked on a little bit. So Joanna said, honey, will you come with me to Sunday school in the morning? She said, yes. She said, well, I'll come by and pick you up about 9 o'clock. She said, fine. Now, mind you, this girl had never been in our church. That's the first time this couple had seen them. Would you believe they brought her to Sunday school? She went through the class. They brought her into the sanctuary. She heard me preach one time, fell in the altar, and got baptized in Jesus' name, and got the Holy Spirit over the weekend, and was just a bubbling glow.
Praise God.
Work?
Yes.
Yes, it works. But you've got to make it work. Did you know the reason I believe that we can do what the Lord said is because He said we could do it. If He told me I can win souls, I can win souls. Because I've got faith in what Jesus has told me. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means we are capable of teaching all nations. We are capable of teaching all nations. That's why I know we can evangelize the continent. All right. Now, notice this. The Sunday school teaches adults and children. I mentioned that. Teaching respective grade levels is very, very and all important. All family members need a Christian education. God's word must be the need taught in each aspect of life. They are personal, domestic, social, economic, and whatever. Would you believe today that the rise of Baal worship is surfacing itself in our social life in America? Because look at the people that oftentimes is murdered and people stand around. That's the old gladiator spirit that was in Rome, because they've seen so much blood and rape and drugs and killings and whatever on the TV and in the theater today until people are kind of calloused as to these things. And it takes blood and broken bones and whatever to turn this generation on, as it were. I'm saying to you, there is such a need today in our world. Have you ever stopped to think about it, that the New Testament church was born in the Roman Empire at the time when her morals and her slavery was at an apex? Have you ever stopped to think about when Jesus Christ was born into the Roman Empire, there were 6 million slaves in the Roman Empire? And would you believe that the Phariseeism of that day was neck deep in the streets of Jerusalem? And Jesus was able to preach and have revival irregardless of the Pharisaic condition that existed? Would you believe that the New Testament church was born in the Roman Empire when the moral depravity was at a very animalistic performance? It doesn't mean that because we have got sadistic and immoral that will keep us from having a revival.
Right.
That means that we can have revival Lord, that much the better.
Glory to God.
Because didn't Jesus say He came to save sinners?
Yes.
He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinner to repentance. And so I'm saying today, the dirtier and the more depraved that our society becomes, that is fertilizer to revival. Those things are no contributing factor to us praying and fasting and believing God. Don't you know that God will give revival? If you don't have one going, you need to start one. And you know how you start one? You get the whole church fasting and praying. You throw in the middle of them and believe God until the fire falls. And the Lord loves to give revival. He just delights in giving revival. I just love to see revival come. I'll tell you, over the weekend at home, it just was a deluge. And I enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm telling you now, I am having a time of my life. And I want you to know this is the best day that we ever lived in to have revival. And there's a tremendous revival on the globe. Did you know there's more people with the Holy Spirit on this globe today than there's ever been since been a globe?
That's right.
Did you know that there are more people on this planet now than has ever been since it's been a planet with the Holy Spirit?
Hallelujah.
Why couldn't we have a global revival?
Right.
Why couldn't we have a sovereign move of the Holy Spirit?
Hallelujah.
We just need to back up and get with it. Because the Lord delights in us having revival. Now, notice this one thing as a part of this result here. Sunday school provides for social interactions. Sunday school lends itself to marrying in the faith. Sunday school discourages juvenile delinquency. J. Edgar Hoover said, almost all criminals had no Sunday school background or church affiliation. The Christian training is an antidote to crime. What is wrong with training our children? Train up a child in the way, in the way. It didn't say a way. It said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Then, you may have had some experience with your family, as I have had with mine. A lot of times, when children get grown, they decide maybe they want to try some adventure or try some exercise. Well, you know, after they get grown and married, they want to do something like that. There's not very much you can do about it. But I tell you what you can do. If you put the truth in them, don't honor any spiritual delinquency in their life. And you tell your good God, I'm not having that. I don't have to take that. I'm believing you for them to do what they need to do. I taught them, Lord, to do the will of God, and I'll not honor anything but the will of God.
Praise God. That's good.
We don't have to honor phases in the lives of our children. They are worth more than that. I don't know how much you may have to hurt. I don't know how much you may have to pray. I don't know how much you may have to suffer. But whatever we have to do in order to honor the blessing of God in their heart and in their life, let's go all out. So the Lord bless you, and thank you for listening, and thank you for inviting me.